Hello and welcome to another weekly teaching from Vineyard Community Church, St. Louis.
Well, today, you know those, have you ever played like Pictionary or those things where you're trying to describe something that they can't see, but you know what the object is, right? One time we were playing Pictionary and we had the word Velcro. And the person we were trying to get the person to understand, they have never knew what Velcro was. That is very hard to do. It is almost impossible to describe Velcro and explain it to somebody who has never used Velcro or doesn't understand that. This is sometimes how I feel when I'm asked to give vision. It's all down here somewhere in my heart. I have amazing ideas and thoughts, but sometimes when I try to get out, sometimes it's not very easy for me to get it out. Sometimes I wonder, I have it all pictured in my mind. And so as I prayed about this week, I found myself, as I usually do, trying to put all kinds of stuff in, and God kept saying, keep it simple, keep it simple. But I want to share what my heart is as far as how I believe that God wants to start accelerating and increasing the whole thing that we've talked about in this series of Love University, and how that might look in our church. What it would be like, and that's what I want you to be thinking about, what would it be like for this love that we're talking about to amp up, to go to another level, and then another level after that, another level after that? What would the effect be, and how would that look? And how can we be a part of it as I talk about this? And so, you know, I have lots of ideas and thoughts. And so as I prayed about it, I just found myself realizing, man, you know, this has been the series we're on, but this has really been a series I believe has been a series to reset us as a church for the future. It's not just a series, oh yeah, we need to add a little love in here. We need to understand this is it. Love God, love others. That has to be the core of everything that we do. This is not going to change. It's who we are as a church. And so as I thought about this, I'm talking about the series and how love looks because we're on Love University. But quite honestly, I'm talking about what I believe has to be the central part of our church as we move forward in the future. You know, I think what's interesting about the church right now is to greater and greater degrees, the world has great disagreement with us on all kinds of things that we believe about the truth of the Bible, about who Jesus is, about the supernatural, about demon, of Satan, about sexuality, about money, about relationships, about worldviews. I mean, you can go, and it just feels like it's getting quite more distinct than the normal culture is. And oftentimes, the church it becomes so separated, and it doesn't become very appealing to the world. But what I've noticed that always is something that is a place that people know they need. It's this thing of love. What I see all the time is this is something that they get. Because every human understands that's it. What I need is love. And they may not understand how those words are the same way we do, but they understand I need this love deeply and I need to be able to be loving. And that's what we're going to talk about. So when we look at Jesus, you know, the thing about Jesus, he did lots of amazing things, you know. You get people to follow you because he had so much power. Raised people from the dead. Had people freed from demonic forces. Healed people, you know. Walked on water. Fed thousands of people with nothing but a couple of fish and some loaves of bread. And so that's pretty impressive. But what's interesting is when you hear people talking about Jesus after they count him, they don't talk about the power things. They talk about what those power things communicated to them. And what it communicated to them is that God sees me and he loves me. It undoes you. You guys have experienced that. We pray for each other a lot in this church, right? There's times you've been prayed for and this dramatic supernatural thing happens. But yet your takeaway, your greatest takeaway is out of that was not that I was healed, which is amazing, or this amazing supernatural thing happened that there was no explanation for. What your takeaway is God loves me. God sees me, right? And so as a church, That's what we're talking about when we're talking about this place of learning how to love, because it's this place of we need to go to a place of increasing. We need to be understanding this is what God's called us to do. And to do that, we have to learn and grow in this area of loving like Jesus tells us to love. And as we look at all these things, you know, we basically are saying, well, what do we do? Jesus tells us in John 13, love one another as I loved you. You must love one another. By this you will know that the world will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. This is what he's saying at the very end. This is what it's all about. This is how our church will have the effect in the kingdom, is just that. Loving others as Jesus has loved us. But, you know, Craig Stevens was saying, when I was talking about being stretched, he says, the most encouraging part was when I said, you can't do it, right? When I got to a point of when you try to love like Jesus loves, you can't do it, and then you have to rely on him in a way that is beyond yourself. You have to trust in a love that's greater than yourself. You have to trust in Jesus in that spot. And this is the way it works. As we love God and love others, the two are completely connected as we go through that. Now, when we started, before COVID hit, however many thousand years ago that was, I actually was looking at my journal, and I've said this before, but I was just looking at my journal, and a couple things I wrote out, and one of them was that that whole thing about the parking lot. Most of you know it. I'll tell it real quick because most of you already know it. But this vision I had, we're in the parking lot, you know, about 200 or 300 people showing up. They're wandering around. We look, the building is torn, is completely crumbled, and you can't occupy it. And then we realize we don't have a lease on the land, or we have no money. And then God comes in the scene and says, what do you have? And that's the end of the day. And I remember thinking of that. Didn't realize you actually would have something to keep us out of the building. But the reality is I began understanding that in a new way. I started understanding that what do you have that no circumstance can take away? What do you have that will continue to last and count forever? What do you have that makes a difference? When all the structures and all the systems are pulled away, what's happening in the heart of the people of this church? And I think as I look at that, it goes directly to talking about this whole thing of what we've been talking about. If we don't have love for God at deeper and deeper levels, and love for one another at deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper levels, down in the core of who we are, when no one's looking, we've not been discipled. Because that is a sign that of spiritual maturity is to love others. Now, the title that I put on today is A Beautiful and Powerful Community. And you know, here's part of the reason is when I experience Jesus, those are two words that words can't put it into fully, but those are two words that come to my mind. That I experience this beauty of who God is when I experience him, but I also experience this tremendous power in my weakest state, right? And I want us to become a community to greater and greater degrees that is defined as beautiful and powerful. You know, when you think about Jesus, when people came away from him, they saw the beauty of God by their interaction. And they also experienced the power of God. As a church, the same will go for us. As we're around people, the beauty of God should be being seen. The glory of God should be seen. The power of God should be seen. Now, when our love for God and one another increases, our beauty and power will expand and increase. When our love for God and others decreases, it will bring the church less beauty and make it ugly. A church without that as its center, it just becomes ugly. without the center of loving God and especially loving others, as we're talking about this morning, that is what shows the beauty of God. And if we don't have it, that's what takes it away, this place. And so this beauty is a spot where when you experience Jesus through others, you experience this place that's hard to put into words. And the biblical word is kind of glory. You experience who the majesty, the beauty, the perfectness of God, the glory of God. You get to experience that. But you also experience him coming in power in places that you've been weak, and it brings this deep connection and security and expectation for what he could do. Now, what I want you to do as we go through this, I want you to be just kind of imagining, in the place that we're talking about, what it would look like to love at greater and greater degrees as a church. Each one of us uniquely growing this place of loving more and more. And I want to take us into two areas. I want to think of us be thinking about your own natural family and the Vineyard Community Church. It applies to many other things, but for this morning, I want you to be thinking about those two areas as we go through this. And the verse that came to my mind as I thought about this was in Galatians 5:6. And this is when the people are trying to cause the Galatians to go back to religion, go back to circumcision, go back to the law. And Paul is just saying, do not do that. You've been freed, and there's this whole new way of living. You've been called to this other place. Don't do it. And he goes on and says this in verse 6. It says, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. And then it goes on right after that and goes into the fruit of the Spirit. This is what it looks like. And this is what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to be Spirit-led. And when you're Spirit-led, these things of love and all the fruits of the Spirit come out of you when you're Spirit-led. And so when I pray for our church, I'm always praying basically this verse all the time. God, would you allow our faith to be expressed through love in every individual person? The Message puts it this way, for Christ neither was not religious or disregard religion or amounts to anything. What matters is something far more interior, faith expressed in love. So when I pray, you know, I've never prayed, let's get a lot of people. I guess when I first church planning, I prayed that a lot. But after I got a little more spiritual, I started praying for the inside of you, not what's on the outside. You know, I'm glad we had this building. It was never one of my high prayers, but it's great to have it. But what I pray for is this interior that faith will be expressed in love. And, you know, as I look at that, that is really, if you want a life verse, learn what that means, is that you express your faith, what you receive from God and you trust in God, you express it by loving. Another way of putting it is that all that counts, really, or what is needed most, you know. And what you'll find is loving people, many people, you know, when I was in the Vineyard, everything pushed my buttons at first because I wasn't from churches that actually believed in healing and dramatic things happening and the Holy Spirit coming. It was unusual for me. I theologically believed it. I just didn't know really if I believe it or not. And so Vineyard, it was always the radical side, was the God's power coming and healing and these dramatic things happening. And I realized that was radical in some ways. You know what's way more radical? Is loving like Jesus loves. Now that's radical. To be able to understand, that's what we're called to. We're called to love that way. Now, for me, when I think about what that looks like, sometimes I think of the service, you know, I think about gatherings, but usually what I think about, I think about individuals interacting with each other. Individuals in their everyday lives, in their all their life, that they're expressing their faith through moments of love. I've said this before, but as a pastor, what I've realized is God does work in these ways that are very unusual. They're moments. They don't appear to be very large. Sometimes he comes very dramatically, but the power moments are usually in smaller settings and interactions of people, and it's life-changing. As we think about this, so I was thinking, okay, now what can I get to? And I thought of a story, and guess what? You've heard this story before. You know, biblically, I found out Jesus does tell stories over and over, so don't give me any more flack about that. But really, quite honestly, the way God speaks to me almost all the time, if you have been around me any length of time, you understand this is just who I am. I have kind of a scene I see or something that happens, and it's God says, pay attention, and then I can't shake it. And if it's God, I just keep thinking on it over and over, and then God speaks to me through that thing that I saw. That's just a normal way he gets things across to me. And then I kind of put it up against Scripture, and I begin thinking about it, I noodle on it. I've only been thinking on this thing for over 35 years, and I've shared it numbers of times. And so here's a scene. Menlo Park, California. And I'm going to give you the story that most of you know, but then I'm going to break down why I think this story stands out to me so much. In Menlo Park, California, I was brand new from Kansas going to the Bay Area, and so San Francisco Bay Area, quite a difference from Kansas to the Bay Area. So I feel like a very awkward person in this situation with all these smart, educated people. And the church was quite young, and I was just didn't know hardly anybody. And these singles said, why don't you come to a party we're having? It's in Menlo Park, and there's a bunch of gals who live in this big old white house. And they said, come. And Debbie says, I got to watch the kids. She's not, you know, I love that kind of stuff. She doesn't. So I go. And I show up, a little nervous because I'm 10 years older than anybody probably at the party. And most of them are single. And I walk in, and I'm just telling you, it felt so warm. People greeted me. People were laughing. There was a lot of people in this house. And I remember as I went back, they said, hey, here, you can put your coat somewhere. So I went to find a room in the back. And I was walking through this house. I looked, and there was a singles praying over another single she was weeping, and she was going through something really hard, and they were praying for her. And then I looked up the stairs in another bedroom, and some people were teaching each other worship song, closing their eyes and worshiping. And I put my coat on this monster pile of coats, and I went back in. It was just loud, laughing. They were cooking in the kitchen. Everybody was bringing stuff. There must have been six people running around the kitchen, just laughing, cooking things. And I remember this guy named Eric Mathis. Really expressive guy. And he came and he just was so kind. And he started talking to me. He said, now, how'd you get here? What's going on? And so we ended up sitting down. And we just started, he started telling me, asking me questions and listening. And I asked him about his life. And I remember exactly where I was at. I remember looking at all this stuff going on. We were trying to find a quiet enough place or a place we could sit down. And we're kind of watching everything from a distance out there. We're talking, and people were bringing us food to eat. And he's talking, and I said, how did you come to Vineyard? And he talked about how he was diagnosed with melanoma. Someone had a mole in his back, and he was dating somebody who was a nurse, and she said, that didn't look good. They checked it out. It gone. It already metastasized. It was in all his lymph nodes. And they basically said, this is, you're too far to go. So you have a certain period of time to live. He's pretty young. He'd been in his family a lot. And so, but he was in a spot where he just was connecting to Jesus in this really amazing way. And he ended up coming to California, and he came to Palo Alto, and God told him to look for a Vineyard church because he had heard Vineyard, he knew much about Vineyard. And so he went to a vineyard church. It was actually the vineyard in Palo Alto. He found us, and it was way before I got there. And he went to a home group. Actually, it's in Mark and, some of you know Mark and Gail Pedersen. It's actually in their home, but Mark and Gail were not there that night. And another friend of mine that I know now was leading that small group. And during the meeting, during worship, he started feeling the Holy Spirit come on him. He's a first-time visitor. They haven't even had their first church service yet. And he ends up telling me about this whole story about God coming on him. And they took him in another room and they prayed for him for about an hour. And as they prayed for him, he said, "I felt heat go through my body to all my lymph nodes and just burn for sometimes 10 minutes each section and then my stomach." And so he thought, so he went and told his mom for the first time, "I have melanoma cancer, but there's good news. I think I'm healed." And she said, she said, "Well, the doctors will tell us. We don't have to make this up. Let's go back." So he went back to the doctor and convinced them, the doctor was not exactly happy about that, to check him again. And so he reached under and his lymph nodes were, used to be hard as rock, they were completely soft. And so they did testing on him and he was completely healed. And I was listening to him and I'm like, "Are you okay? Are you lying to me?" I mean, it was just like dramatically, you know. So, but what was different was he was telling me face to face his story, and his story caused me to see God's power and healing in a way that would have never happened if someone was up on the stage saying it, right? Because I could tell as he was speaking about it, he was just filled with gratitude, overwhelmed, as surprised as anybody was that God would do this. Now, you know, he actually almost came to our church plan. I hadn't talked to him for years. I called him last night. I got a number from him and called him. He's in Chico, California, 2 kids, has never had any cancer since that point. He's had checkups all the time, right? And so I'm sitting in this thing kind of, and I'm telling him my story and he's telling his story. And I'm looking and people are dancing in the living room to some, whatever the 90s song was back then. I'm behind the times. So, and it was just people being real and having a blast. And eventually I had to go. I went home, and so later on I went to the at church. I asked one of the gals that lived there, I said, "How long did you guys go last night?" or whenever it was. I can't remember if it was Friday or Saturday. And they said, "Oh man, we went for a long time." She says, "I know, our neighbors, we had to tell them that we were going to take up all the parking. So when we told them we'd take up the parking, we always invite them to come over, have something to eat, and drop in on us, right?" And so we had neighbors start coming over because it looked like there were 60 to 80 people in this house. I mean, it was a party. And she says, "This," and you guys know the story, but she says, "The wildest thing is, you know, someone brought in a new worship CD, and so we said, you got to hear this. And so we were just all goofing around. We put in the worship CD, and everybody just started spontaneously worshiping as loud as they could in the living room, just raising their hands and just crying out to Jesus and just worshiping. And she says, "I look over, and my neighbor, who's not a Christian, is next to him, and he's up there in the middle of this group like this, and just singing along kind of and trying to figure out the words as he goes, you know? And he leans over to the friend next to him that he doesn't know. He goes, "What is this?" And they said, "It's worship." And he goes, "It feels great." And as I thought about that, I just thought, and when I left that party, I just felt so much of God. And I thought, church would be more like that. You know, and the thing is, you might say, "Oh, well, those people must have been super spiritual, and man, they were, oh, people, oh my gosh, those are kind of," no, they were rough. Most of them ended up in our small group. They had lots of roughness. They had lots of struggle. And, you know, they were people who were as human as you and I and struggled with all the same things. And quite honestly, I knew the Bible a lot better than they did. They didn't know much about God. They didn't know much thing, but they understood God's love and understood they could give it away. You know, so, you know, as we think about this, as I thought about this, You know, I love the verse in Corinthians where it says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, right? We have to understand as a church, we always are going to look really human if we're humble and honest. We are always going to be earthen vessels who have cracks and have problems. We always will. And we're always kind of in the spot of saying, I wish I wouldn't be that way so much, because it makes God look less. It doesn't make God look less. It makes God look better. It makes God be seen. For we have this treasure in jars of clay to show the surpassing power is from God and not us. When Eric talked to me about how God healed him from being a death sentence of metastasized melanoma cancer, I didn't think, wow, Eric, you're amazing. I thought, God, you are amazing. Right? And as I looked through that group, I just thought to myself, all these things about church I just love is this place of people being who they truly are and not have to hide who they were, who they are, and act like there's something they're not. This whole thing of having a place that the tangible presence of God is actually in, where people can walk in and actually feel it and understand it's God. In this place in which that people didn't really separate the secular from the sacred. It all was together. And this place of people being kind and inviting me in and seeing me and all those things, I knew were from God. And so as we think about this, I want you to now just to in practical ways, I want you to just think about your natural family. Like, think about the people in your family. Now, some of you maybe, you know, your camp fams in other places or whatever, but apply it as needed as we go through this. Because, you know, what would it look like to have faith express itself to love to the next level in your home? Right? Now, we know this applies to the world and all these things, but quite honestly, what Scripture makes really clear is get it right in the people who are the most close to you, and out of that, you'll instantly be going to the people who are less close to you. But if you can't do it with your wife and kids, if you can't do it with your brothers and sisters in Christ, it's going to be hard to do it to the world in a way that's authentic. And so he focuses in on that. And so as we start out, think about your natural family, your parents, your brothers, your sisters. Maybe you have an infant or a toddler, a grade schooler, or a teenager you're parenting. Maybe you have an adult child or a grandchild, or, you know, what would it look like to have this in your relationship with your husband and relationship with your wife, to have increasing love that comes from faith? You know, what would it look like, let's say you have kids, is that spot of when you had to get up and feed your infant in the middle of the night. Some of you know that one. How would that look when you're holding that kid? How would it look when you're interacting with your toddler, or on that drive with your kids to school, or when you're trying to talk them into brushing their teeth again and again, or when you discipline them, or when they're out of control and they're crying and you're trying to comfort them, when they have too many words for the day? All those kind of real life situations with your kids. What about, you know, how would it look when you put your kids to bed or try to get your teenagers out of bed, you know, one or two? How does it look when you have conflict and you set boundaries? And how does that look? How would it look if you could do those things and have love expressing itself through faith? You know, how would it be in this place of, you know, with your marriage? if you could see your spouse to increasing levels and loving that person in the way God has loved you to more and more levels, how would that affect your marriage? And as you look at the place as far as just, you know, whoever the people you're thinking about, like, how would that look in your natural family? The way you interact with your siblings, the way you feel about your parents. You know, how would it look if you could begin understanding, wait a second, this parenting thing's really complex, which it is, but above all, what I'm after is to have faith expressing itself in love with my kids, with my parents, with my siblings, with my spouse. And then I want you to think about, what would it feel like to have, what would it look like to have this happen among our spiritual family, right? What would have to be a spot of our Vineyard family? This place of how would that look as we whenever we gather. Now, our service times, right, are 10:30 to 11:45, kind of 11:45, depends. And but you know, many of us here are starting way earlier than that. You know, the worship team's here a lot earlier. Their setup team's happening. What if you would be able to be in the spot of knowing when you're heading off to gather on Sunday that you're thinking, as soon as the second person walks in the door, we have two or three, right? And we can start because this is when church starts. Church doesn't start just on the service part. Church starts whenever people are connecting to each other. What would that feel like when if you had that in that spot? The moment you arrived, when you start, you know, practicing the worship or you start making coffee, and you probably many of you, we already have that. Well, what would it be like if that just kept going up? You had increasing love for each other and expressing that to one another. What it would look like when we start the service and the nursery workers or with the kids, the preschoolers or the kids down their classes, we do want them to understand and learn and all those things, but you know what we want? We want to have love expressed to them that's from God in all that we do. And what would that feel like? And on the playground, you know, what it would be like if, you know, that we begin seeing each other through this lens, and that became the most important part of meeting. It would take a lot of pressure off of me. It would take a lot of pressure off the worship team. You see, we have been, and I'm guilty. I led the church in this too, but we have been so influenced by culture that we have created consumer church at levels that we don't know how to get out of now, right? And you guys can go home and eat your dinner and say, well, David's a little off today, but the worship was pretty good, and evaluate it. It's like, oh, you know, that's not what church is. Church is the body of Christ coming together, all playing their particular part and understanding that each part matters. But what would that look like if we had that kind of way of thinking that our most important thing today would be, how do I express faith through love in every situation that I'm a part of? You know, and then we got to places where, think about staying around after church. Like, some I've left here sometimes. It's like, I've actually left, gone home, came back to go somewhere, and there's still people in the parking lot talking. And nothing warms my heart better, right? But what would it be like if we just all begin understanding that church doesn't end when we say amen, that we have some time here that we can actually connect with each other, and as we have, now sometimes the kids is complicated, but how do you, if you could figure out ways when you have the time to be able to be present and stay around and use that time to connect. And I think what especially, you know, what would it look like if just what, when we understood the events that we have, there's always reasons, like we want to train you in All In, we want to train you in Foundations, we want to carve pumpkins, right? But you know, we're really just setting atmospheres up for the church to express themselves by loving each other, right? That's the real important thing about the pumpkin carving. It's not that, hey, we did pretty good, we got all these pumpkin carvings we've done, right? That's part of it. It's an environment. We really don't need pancakes next week. And if you think, well, I don't like pancakes, I'm not going to stay, you don't understand the pancake breakfast. The pancake breakfast is just to set an environment so we can be around each other, so we can love each other, and we can be who we are and express God's love to one another, right? Yay. All right. So, he likes pancakes too. And as we think about that, is if you can just imagine when you understand this is the power of the church, it's not big programs, performance, more people coming. It's when the church begins getting a hold of this place and they get connected to God's love in such a way that they begin being compelled because of God's love to just love people and be themselves and invest in one another. Now, We want this in our small groups as well. But I just that makes it a little easier in a smaller setting, right? You kind of realize, oh, that's why I'm here. I'm here to be a part. But I really encourage us as a church to just think about how you can do this with your schedule, with your life, how you could figure out more places that you can connect with another follower of Jesus, couple, and just create your own environments, right? You don't have to do a party of 68, or you can if you want, I'll come, right? But it can be 3 or 4. It can be like, why don't we just get together and help each other on our house? Or why don't we have lunch together? Or, you know, why don't we just help each other with the kids? Or what are those things? I know these things are happening, but what if that kept increasing and spreading them out in the whole church, and we became family in that way? And when we did it, we understood that our biggest priority was not the tasks that we're doing or the things that we're doing, but our biggest priority is how in this context can I have faith expressing itself through love? How do I do that? And it will change everything. You will see something happen that the power of the church will show up then. It will, when it gets out of programs and systems, which are just environments, and starts breaking into the place that people are compelled and just opening their homes and connecting and opening their lives to people maybe not unlike themselves, and sometimes deciding to do things that are real focused, baby showers for refugees, or inviting refugees to your house, or having just a worship night, you know, because you want to worship and you don't have to, you just get some friends and worship or just spend time praying for each other. But the fuel of all this is the love of God. And so I want to just close with this verse. This verse describes it's a better prayer than I can come up with. But this is what I pray for us. I pray that out of the glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep his love, the love of Christ is, and to know his love that surpasses knowledge, that you will be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. That's what I pray. That's where it comes from. And if you say, and one works after the other, as you try to love people, you'll start turning to God. If you turn to God, he'll take you to loving people. And I pray that in that, you will know his love, and you'll be rooted in that love, and that love will overflow. And I love how it ends, and now who is able to do unmeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is working within us. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. That's what God's after. He wants us to be people who learn how to, in every situation, to express our faith through love. So your invitation is just, this is a good prayer just to pray in everyday life. Holy Spirit, show me how I can express my faith through love right now. It even works when you're fighting with your wife. I did it this week. Trust me. It helps you have a lot better fight. How do I express your love? And then do what he says for you to do. And he's not going to overwhelm you. He's going to show you things and give you things that you can do.